associate chaplain at MIT. I wanted to get your comment on the Indian American class president at MIT, Megha Vemuri, who was barred from attending her graduation ceremony after she gave a commencement speech the day before around Palestine. Your thoughts?
I think Megha is incredibly brave. She, and as are all the students at MIT and on college campuses who are standing up for Palestine. Yeah, everything she said really speaks to the heart and soul of the student movements, which are going to be undeterred. And that was clear in her speech. Students will keep speaking up for Palestine and for liberation across college campuses. So I'm really proud of Megha for finding the right words and really being very courageous.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us. Did you get your diploma after you gave your commencement address, Zahra Imam?
I did, I have it so far, so I don't have any, haven't faced any challenges with that yet.
Even though Megha Vemuri was not allowed to attend her graduation, MIT did bestow upon her her diploma, unlike NYU that took away the diploma of a young student who spoke out in his graduation address. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Norman Solomon saying that you're listening to non-commercial, listener-sponsored, volunteer-driven community radio, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
It's time to pack your bags and join us for Camp KBOO. Make a summer of memories with KBOO and support grassroots media by becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give to help us reach our $50,000 goal by June 29th.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and if you're listening, you are tuned in. 90.7 in Portland, 104.3 in Corvallis, 91.9 in Hood River, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, June 2nd, and I welcome all of you who are here, and just remind you that we are in the midst of our summer drive, and this is Camp KBOO summer membership drive, where we are unpacking our bags and bunking up at Camp KBOO and bringing our community together. So help us reach our goal of $50,000 before June 29th, and you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Thank you so much for making sure that independent community radio continues. And it's because of you that we're able to continue this incredible experience. And so, since it is in the midst of our summer membership drive, it is so appropriate to think about summer and what that brings for all of us as we prepare for summer and prepare for the coming months. Things suddenly here in Portland, it appears that summer has arrived in little bits and pieces. It's always, one should always be cautious about proclaiming, it's summer or it's spring, because, you know, in 30 minutes it'll start raining again. But it is June and the beginning of many outside activities and festivities and festivals. This week here in Portland, most Portlanders saw the beginning of Rose Festival activities, including the annual Starlight Parade this past weekend. There are many festivals and activities that are happening this summer, this spring. What are your favorite festivals and activities? Were you one of those who made sure to go down as part of your tradition to experience the Starlight Parade, or planning to have special events for the other activities around Rose Festival? There's multiple music festivals that are happening. And this week, the second annual Portland Book Week begins and celebrates independent bookstores June 6th to June 15th. And so, two questions, or related questions, if you are interested, to share. What are some of your favorite activities this time of the year? Are there special festivals that you want you participate in, activities, parades, protests? What is it that makes it special for you? So if you're interested, give us a call. What is it special about this summer? This is the beginning of June. And what activities are important to you? And as I noted, that this is the beginning, you know, of the annual Portland Book Week. So what books do you recommend or are you reading this summer that people might pick up and you find interesting? So, one, are there special activities, festivals that you want to be a part of, that you are looking forward to? Is it, and what books do you recommend for people to read this year? June is also the beginning of Pride, and more than ever, a Pride Month. With the vicious attacks upon particularly the trans community, how do we build a movement? How do we support one another in times where meanness is celebrated as a principle in among those of influence? How do we respond? How do we build a movement that encourages and invites everyone to participate? What steps do we need to take, or are we missing at this time? I noted a couple of minutes ago that there seemed to be a spirit of meanness that is surrounding so much of our political discourse. And a celebration of meanness, a lack of empathy even. Some of you might have been familiar with senator from Iowa, and she went to a town hall meeting, which is somewhat unusual for Republican office holders these days, because many have experienced not friendly environment when they go to their town hall meetings. But Senator Ernst of Iowa did so, and you might have been familiar with the transcript where people were concerned about the bill that is making its way through Congress, that has passed through the House and is before the Senate now, which will impact many, many people, particularly those who are poor and who need health care. The stripping away of health care for millions of people, it's something that people are concerned about. And so at the town hall meeting, the senator went to someone, as you hear in many town halls meeting, someone said, you know, people are going to die. And Senator response was, well, we all are going to die or something like that. And then she made this sarcastic apology, video apology, which it just mean-spirited. And for me, and for so many, there is a concern about this meanness, the lack of empathy, that so many Republican office holders are grabbing onto. And so I'm interested in your response. You know, people such as, you know, the richest man in the world said, you know, empathy is a failure of Western civilization. There seems to be such a meanness. How do we respond to that? Are there ways in which we respond to that? And this month, and how do we lift up those who are most vulnerable? How do we support them? And how do we celebrate? How do you celebrate? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We can go from the profound to the interesting. Deep. Any response to the movement in so many conservative circles, and you can see this in podcasts and in as well as other media forms. This mean-spiritedness and embracing of it from the vice president, who had this distorted impression of who you can care for, circles of caring, which the head of his church, the Pope, rebuked him for, because no, Vice President Vance, that's not how love works. Love extends to all without limits, and there are no tiers of love. So how do we respond to this lack of empathy, and indeed this embrace of meanness, of a sense of entitlement, which has no sense of empathy? That's the one word that comes again and again: empathy, of caring, of sharing, of walking with those who are vulnerable. And we see that in our public policy, especially as the U.S. House passed this bill, which will impact millions of people with health care and many, many other ways. This meanness extends to not only in terms of how it impacts health in healthcare in the United States, but also we see this in terms of how people, or our government, and others are attacking those who are seen as different. I mean, the fact that the federal government is grabbing people and making them disappear with little feedback or response is so wrong and so difficult. So what do we do? What do we do? And thank you. Ray just reminded me what Elon Musk said about Western civilization and sympathy. I mentioned the podcast, and he went on this podcast. We all know, Joe Rogan. And he went on his podcast, and he talked about how empathy is bad, and why. Let me quote what he says. He says if the Democrats had another 4 years, they would legalize enough illegals in the swing state to make the swing states not swing state. They just would be blue states, and they would win the presidential. Then they'd win the House and the Senate. And he goes on and on about how civilizational suicidal empathy is going on, how this is a bad thing. The fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy, the empathy exploit. They're exploiting a bug in Western civilization, which is the empathy response. And we can have a discussion about that, and whether empathy is symbolic of Western civilization. For those who have been terrorized by colonization, they might have another interpretation of Western civilization. But let's hear some of your thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on these subjects. So let's go to our caller. What's on your mind, Santiago? Any festival? Are you empathetic?
the issue of empathy. Empathy is not an issue for those who have a people-centered ethos. Whereas if your ethos is profit-centered, then empathy absolutely is a problem because, capitalists cannot fully exploit people who have empathy. I mean, the whole point of even fascism itself is to just crush any kernel of kindness. Because if we care about each other in any significant way, then it makes it much harder for the system to take advantage of people. But and I really think that we can develop that by creating political movements that are centered on people. And when I'm saying that, I'm talking about I've talked about over the last few weeks, a revolutionary workers' party. Shama Sawant did it in Seattle, and it was very popular. Mm-hmm. She's a very popular mayor. People came down on her because, she wasn't beholden to the Democratic or Republican Party in a way that didn't uphold the primacy of capital.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, that's where we're at right now in terms of what we're fighting against. And it's important to recognize that the Democrats are complicit. Democrats have had over 50 years to do anything significant. And when they have power, I mean, people say they fumble the bag, but I mean, they collaborate because what happens is the Republicans take power and they do a whole bunch of nasty business. And then the Democrats don't do anything to reverse it. They just kind of hold the line. And I mean, it's we're at a place where people have already lived through an apocalypse. Many of the people in 2016 who wanted to vote for Bernie couldn't stomach to hold their nose to vote for Hillary because they know because of what her what Bill Clinton did in the 90s with NAFTA, gutting the entire Midwest for profit. Yeah, that's the type of thing where they talked about the idea of pure economics, where they can remove the human factor from the entire equation outside of just pure labor and being able to create profit. And that's what all of these politicians want. And I also mm-hmm. think that it's really important to be able to create a difference between like the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and Republican voters versus Democratic voters, because we saw when that dude from the health insurance place when he was killed on the streets, man, it was a time where you could see people who supposedly had these opposing viewpoints as voters all came together and really understood why this dude was killed, because people who vote Democrat and Republican both feel the sting of the system that's trying to crush him.
So let me ask you, because certainly your analysis of the political system, and I appreciate it in terms of the Democrats' complicity to the dilemma we find ourselves in. How do we get out of it, or how do we get beyond this type of understanding that to have any movement, we have to vote, and we have two choices, Republicans or Democrats? How do we get beyond that narrative to create a new paradigm?
Well, I mean, as I tell everybody, we need to start talking. We need to talk about dual power. We need to be able to create, we need to be able to create alternative power structures like that were created during the civil rights movement that could actually potentially put pressure on the centers of power to do something. But I mean, ultimately, we can't stop there. Rosa Luxemburg once said reform or revolution. And, and I do believe it is revolution, but it has to be reform too. I always talk about like being able to, alter a garment that wasn't meant for you to make it fit you. But eventually, after so many alterations to the garment, you're going to have to get a new one. And where we have stopped every time was just short of getting a new garment. The New Deal, the civil rights movement, women's rights, these were all alterations to the garment that is the fabric of the U.S., which was inherently cishet, white supremacist, Christian patriarchy. And all of these alterations we've made, have made it so this ill-fitting garment for everybody who wasn't a cishet, white Christian male can make it fit them a little better. But ultimately, it was a garment that was not meant for us.
I agree with you, and I think that's the point. I think that's a good image in terms of creating a garment and trying to fit it and alter it enough. But ultimately, what you realize that it wasn't intended for you, and that if you continue to try to fit into this garment, it's not going to work. So we need to get beyond that, and it's sort of like saying no, a pox on both your houses, and let's move beyond. But
yeah, absolutely. And we're not going to get there through the party system that we have. There's things we can do to press upon the centers of power, but without revolution, without a complete change of ways, we'll never be able to lock those changes into place. That's why they've been able to roll back women's rights. That's why they've been able to roll back, rights for black, brown, queer, and trans folks, because the people did the hard work like they did at Stonewall, but then the people who had the power, who were supposed to be the opposition to the white supremacist fascist party that is the Republicans, the Democrats never solidified any of that in stone, because ultimately it's a bargaining chip for them to be able to get votes, to be able to get funding. If they didn't have that, they wouldn't be able to fundraise because ultimately they're fascist collaborators. So we have to look beyond that, and just, it's not coming from above. It's always come from below. Any significant change has come from below.
Excellent. Okay. Great points, and I appreciate your thoughts. And are you reading any books or any festivals or activities this summer that you want people to pay attention to?
I'm reading about social fascism by Earl Browder, how social democrats were complicit in getting Nazis into power, and then the Blues Festival in July.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, and have a great day. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and let's go to our next caller. She the Spirit is here. Good morning.
Good morning. This is She the Spirit, and I'm here to wake the dead.
Okay.
Now, I used to have a bookstore when I lived in California, so you were talking about the book festivals, and no. I love books, and I have two I'd like to recommend to the audience.
Okay.
The first book is called The 13 Tribes of Israel, and it's by Arthur Koestler, Koestler. And when you get this book, you'll see that it originally was called The 12 Tribes of Israel.
Yeah, okay, and let's hear the next book.
Well, let me just finish with the first book. The number 12
red
diagonal through it.
A problem I have, and I, to be quite honest, I haven't read the book, but it sounds as it's leading in towards anti-Semitism.
It's leading into telling you who the 12 tribes of Israel is, and it also tells you who the 13th tribe is.
Okay,
Benjamin Netanyahu's people.
Okay, you mentioned that book. I want you to mention another book as well. You mentioned two books. So you mentioned that book, so let me give you the time to mention the other book you want to also share.
Okay, but you're interrupting me from explaining to the audience the 12 tribes of Israel.
Because
it's going to tell people about what's going on in Palestine, because there's a lot of...
Let me ask you about this book. When was it written?
Which book are you referring to? The one, the 12?
Yes, the one you've been talking about. Yes. When was it written?
First of all, you're jumping to this anti-Semitism defense that they're all using.
I'm just asking, when was this book written? That's all I'm asking. I apologize if I sound like I was jumping.
I read the first edition about 30 years ago hard copy.
Okay.
It's by Arthur Koestler.
Okay,
Mr. Prescott. I just finished the fifth edition.
Is it by the same author? Is it the same author or the new author?
It's by the same author, the fifth edition, with new information, because he's done a lot of research.
So he's been doing this for 30, 40 years. Okay. So, okay, we got that book. And there's a different editions. So I think we have.
Are you interrupting me, please, so I can make my statement and then get off the air?
Okay. I'll give you 30 more seconds.
You're acting that the book is anti-Semitism.
I'm just asking you for... Just give me the information. Name of the book, where can you get it, and that's all I'm asking.
The edition is, you can get it anywhere, and I recommend the library, or you can get audio. I got the fifth edition a few months ago.
You got it audio. Okay, thank you.
You can get it from any place that sells audible books.
Okay,
you need to learn to drop the term anti-Semitism off your lips, because that's how they prevent you from learning about what's really going on and why.
Thank you very much.
Annihilated. Right?
I don't mean to interrupt our conversation. I would like us to engage in conversation. I asked you for the book. We can have a longer debate around anti-Semitism. I just wanted to name the name of the book. You named the fifth edition, and if there was another book you wanted to share about. And we can, you know, people can grab the books and have debates. So I appreciate you sharing that knowledge. And if you have something else to share with us, I want to give you the opportunity.
If you would allow me, I would love to.
Okay, give me another book or
and
festival.
Also about the 13 tribes of Israel.
Okay,
on the back of the dollar bill is the number 13.
Okay.
As you know, our country was founded with 13 colonies, okay?
Well, it's a country. Okay. Continue.
And I thought this was a call-in show that I'm supposed to be able to call in and say what I need to
okay.
say. And you've interrupted me 7 times already.
I'm listening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your respect for my opinion and my perspective. I was talking about the book on the back of the dollar bill, and our country was founded with 13 colonies. That's the number 13 again. People need to read these books to find out why Palestine is being annihilated and exterminated. And these books will help you understand and explain why.
Okay.
Now, the back of the dollar bill.
Let me ask you, because you bring in a lot of things. Let me ask you, because you bring in a lot of things that I'm not following. So you're talking about the book, then you mentioned the 13 colonies, and then you mentioned the back.
It all ties in together.
A back of the dollar bill. We don't have enough time. I'm sorry. Why don't you...
Number 13.
Why don't you drop...
The tribes of Israel is on the back of the dollar bill.
Okay, why don't you drop us a line with all this information, because it's kind of hard to follow on listening. So let me give you my email address, moretalkradio@gmail.com, and that'll give you more opportunity to lay out the information you have to share, and will give you the honor to explain it more thoroughly what you have, because it's important information. So I appreciate you, and we might have some disagreement, but that's the part of conversation. So thank you so much, and we'll check out that book and drop us an email with more information, moretalkradio@gmail.com. You're listening to More Talk Radio at KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is June 2nd, 2025, and wow. Okay, let me catch my breath, because we had a couple of calls with a lot of high energy, and I want to apologize if it sounds as if there was, you know, some tension, but I'm cautious when I hear language, and I want people to speak clearly. I also want people to have their points expressed. But also, I'm somewhat protective when I hear language that I find offensive. And I think it's a balancing act. How do we hear different points of view, but how do we protect and honor our people? And especially, I'm thinking of those who are most vulnerable, and we have to be careful about our language that we use. And yeah, I wanted to be careful about, you know, throwing out terms to people and positions, but I think it's important to be gentle and to listen. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Cecil. It's a wonderful day today.
Yes.
I'm going to start with a brief negative statement, and then I'll get to my book selection.
Okay.
You ready? The negative part is that Israel itself is anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because with Jews and Palestinians, and Israel violates all Judaic restraint. But
yes.
That's the negative. Let me get to the positive.
Okay.
You ready? The book I'm currently reading is called The Good Earth, by Pearl Buck.
Whoa, that's going back a while. Okay.
That's going back. I'm going to tell you another book written roughly around the same time that I've read and I highly recommend. and I called this in before. It's called It Can't Happen Here, right, by Sinclair Lewis.
I think you've shared that with us. Yeah,
that book is set in the United States. I would really recommend people read that.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay, I got two festivals. Here we go. The Blues Festival, July 4th Blues Festival in Portland, Oregon. I was there last year working security. Mm-hmm. That place had four stages simultaneously playing different types of blues and jazz. It was hot, but the people were having a good time.
Okay.
The next place I'm going to go travel is to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's also in July, to meet my son, who's about to graduate with a PhD, and we're going to go to the horse races.
Okay.
There's nothing more fun to watch a beautiful stallion running as quick as it can. Anyway, I'm going to let it go with that, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Bye-bye. Okay, you as well. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. And if you're not off to the racetrack, why don't you give us a call, 503-231-8187. Share with us your thoughts about festivals or books or what's on your mind. Let's go to our next caller, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Cecil. I hope you're well.
I am. Thank you.
And here we are. It's June. It's busting out all over. And the risk we run is that it could be January before we're done. As you have had some experience with all these years in Portland, June sometimes sneaks up with what we call January.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden, oh, no. Mm. What happened to what we thought was going to be summer?
That's right.
That's neither here nor there, but just be prepared. As to books, especially this Pride Month, I strongly recommend everyone read anything by the poet Mark Doty, D-O-T-Y. He's written several memoirs and a whole bunch of poetry. All of it is perfect summer reading. Not the kind of stuff that you have to go in and find all the conspiracies, because there are none in his books of poetry and his memoirs. So whilst you're out there enjoying January,
okay. Yeah.
The good thing to do is to read more poetry. So Mark Doty, D-O-T-Y, anything he's ever written is worth your reading.
Thank you so much. And just to go back to something you began earlier, why are you reading The Good Earth?
I haven't read The Good Earth in many, many years.
Okay.
And that sounds like a good suggestion.
All right. I haven't either, so maybe, yeah, it's been decades. So, okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cecil. Be well. Do good things.
Hey, thank you. You're listening to More Talk Radio and your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and our numbers are 503-231-8187. And next up is Tuwasi. How are you, Tuwasi?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. You know, there's so many great festivals that happen in the summer here in Oregon, and we're really fortunate. This one is actually a recommendation for a festival in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Canoe Journey, the Tribal Canoe Journey.
Hmm.
It's a relatively recent invention by indigenous nations across the Northwest, where different canoe families join together in paddling across the Northwest coast.
Wow.
And arriving all together and having a day of protocol and celebration. So protocol is what each individual nation has that represents their own strengths and identities of their different villages and clans. So a protocol would be a bunch of songs and dances and regalia. So each nation, when they arrive, they have their specific protocol that they do as a way of celebrating their individual tribal identity. So anyway, it's a week-long celebration beginning at the end of July, the 31st of July. You should be there for that, when all the canoes from all these different tribal nations arrive in Lower Elwha. So it's going to be in Northwest Washington. And for a week, there'll be a week-long celebration that goes until the 5th of August. And it's just like the most important, maybe not the most important, but as far as the summer goes, it's the most important celebration for indigenous nations that identify with canoe culture, which is the way it used to be here before colonization.
Wow.
So that's my recommendation for a festival. Excellent. And I appreciate you giving me the time for that. A book that I come back to all the time, and it's so important right now, is The Fifth Sacred Thing. It's a little bit religious, and you know, if you can set that aside and just look at the bare bones of the messaging, it's got some really important messaging about how to be more empathetic and how to create a safe space for people who might be suffering. It's a really good book. The Fifth Sacred Thing is by Starhawk.
Starhawk.
And she's kind of known for her pagan writing. So, you know, you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt if you're not pagan. But if you just are looking at a book about insurrection, revolution, and what it means to build empathy, you really got to read The Fifth Sacred Thing. And you can get it anywhere.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing about the canoe journey and for this book. I appreciate it so much. Well, take care of yourself and be well. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. Today is June 2nd, and our last caller to RC, we're sharing some of the things that they are interested in and are excited about this year. And to us, he mentioned Indigenous Gathering and Canoe Journey Festival in Northwest Washington that's happening this summer, which sounds fascinating to witness and to be a part of, and that invitation. And also the book, The Fifth Sacred Thing by Starhawk, people might be familiar with some of their writing. In addition, we've had a couple of other people who called and shared some information about books and things that are interesting, whether it's the Blues Festival, whether it's a book by about the Good Earth. Of who would have thought of that? Whether it's a book... we got into a heated conversation. It wasn't heated, but back and forth with a caller about a book that she recommended about the 13 tribes, and then we went on and earlier caller also mentioned some events. So what are some books or that you are reading this summer, or are there specific festivals or activities that is magical for you for this time of the year? Give us a call at 503-231-8187 and let us know your thoughts, your reflections on these things. And we mentioned that, you know, June is also Pride Month, and especially now, more than ever, it's important to stand with those who are most vulnerable and those who are most under attack. In this season where it seems to be, and I began this program by mentioning a U.S. senator at her town hall who just express a lack of caring for those who are most vulnerable. And that is something that I believe we have to strive for. And I think it begins within ourselves and within our communities. So I need to ask myself, how am I not empathetic to those around me in terms of my conversation? And I have to check myself all the time. And how do we build community for all those? And particularly, how do I stand with those who are most vulnerable, whether it's people who are targeted because of perceived immigration status, whether it is children and women and men in Gaza who just want to live, find food, other things that we can do. Give us a call. Okay, let's try this one more time with she, and she has a second book title. Okay, good morning. Let's continue.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the privilege of allowing readers to pick up books and read before judging them, right? Once you read these books, you'll understand more about what's going on over in Palestine, okay? They give you a background, a historical background. So this second book that I wanted to recommend, I read this one back in the 80s. I still have it. It's called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and it's written by Benjamin Netanyahu's ancestors. Okay, once you read that book, you'll understand.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll let you finish sharing the book, but I need to tell you that it's I'm personally offended by that book. But I'll let you finish sharing it. Yes, I'm familiar with
the book.
Yes, I'm familiar with the book. Yes, I've
read
it.
The entire book.
Yes,
okay.
I have.
So then you understand that the courier who was carrying the book.
No. I want you to give.
Right? Do you understand that?
And I understand what? Understand what?
The courier in Bavaria. It was in Europe.
Yes.
The country was called Bavaria, and he was struck by lightning, and that's how the book was revealed to the public in Europe.
Okay.
Everybody knew that God.
So how may? Let me ask you. How many people?
Information would be revealed to the public.
Okay. Let me ask you. Let me ask you. How many people get this book?
How am I supposed to know that? I sell books, but I don't market them.
Oh. Okay. Well, I was just asking people to give books, and you mentioned earlier where people could get earlier book you mentioned.
Tribes of Israel. I got it Audible, the fifth edition, which has much more information. This researcher and author, Mr. Kosler.
Okay.
He is one of the best historians known, and if you Google him, you'll find his books there.
Okay.
Like I said, that book came out. I read it 30 years ago.
Okay. Okay. I think we get the information, and
Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion is important because everything they're doing to the Palestinians now, the annihilation, is spelled out in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Okay, thank you for calling, and thank you for calling again and let us know your thoughts and what you are reading. You're listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO-FM, and this continues to be an opportunity for people to call and share, and even when there is strong disagreement. And let me be clear. I mean, I think it's really, there is one thing that I think is important, and it is it is important to acknowledge differences, disagreement with people. And it's also a balancing act to how do we open up to different ideas, especially ideas that one might find offensive. I think it's important to advocate for those who are in danger, who are oppressed. I think it's able to advocate and support Palestinians and for their freedom. And I think people are doing that in many different ways, that are ways that affirms the humanity of all people. I think so much of oppression is that we demean peoples and groups of people, and I have to watch my language because sometimes unintentionally I may attack people and groups of people. I think it's important to stand for those who are oppressed without dehumanizing the oppressors. It's difficult, but it's important so that we do not become the people that we oppose. It's important to stand for human rights and affirm the rights, human rights of all people without doing something that we've seen repeated in our history that another caller have shared earlier today, where people become victorious and they repeat the habits of those in power of denouncing, criminalizing, and destroying communities. That's unfortunate, and that's something we see repeated in our history. And as an earlier caller mentioned, here in the United States, and since the beginning of this nation, we have seen times where we have attempted to become, in the words of I think Lincoln, a more perfect union, but oftentimes we failed, whether it is by providing the opportunity for more people to have civil rights, the opportunity to vote. And then as we expand opportunities, there is a natural reaction where we limit the ability for people to be free. And there's that reaction where there's oppression come. And so we have to read the history. We learn the history, make sure that we practice the good things from history and not the bad things from history. How do we provide more opportunities for more people? Those are some of the things that we are called to do. But as a caller mentioned, that this is the month of June, and, you know, June can become Juneary. So it may seem like, oh, things are really great, and, you know, the weather will change. But how do we, in the summer months, are there certain festivals that you are a part of or that you want to enjoy? A couple of people mentioned the Blues Festival in Portland. One caller mentioned a canoe journey by indigenous people in Washington. That's great. That's provide community. And others have mentioned books that they have read. One caller, and she mentioned a couple of books that was important to her. Another caller mentioned a book by the writer Starhawk, and others have also mentioned things that they are important. I think, you know, this is, I mentioned earlier, that this is Portland Independent Bookstore Week, and it's the opportunity June 6th to 15th to participate and go to your independent bookstore and try to support them, because it's so important to support independent bookstores. So June 6th to 15th, if you have a favorite independent bookstore, just go down and share with them, look at a magazine, and, you know, maybe even buy a book, because it is so important. It is this state, this town. We enjoy our books. We enjoy our festivals. There are so many that are happening. This month, this summer, participate and be more fully present in some of the activities that are happening this month here in Oregon, throughout the United States. There will be Juneteenth celebration. There will be Pride celebration, and, you know, this is a personal interest to me, because June is also Caribbean Heritage Month. So it's a way in which to celebrate all the things Caribbean this month. So there are many activities, many festivals, and many books to read. We have a couple of more minutes. So if you still would like to call in and share with us a book that you are reading, a book that you recommend, and I'll try to listen and try to hear your suggestion that we ought to read. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. It's an opportunity for you to call in and to share some books that you are reading that people might be interested in. Let me share with you a couple of books that I'm reading now. One is A Life of Reinvention, Malcolm X, a book by Manning Marable. Great selection in terms of learning more about Malcolm X. Another book I'm reading is Wayward Life, Beautiful Experience by Saidiya Hartman Allison Johnson. They examine the revolution of Black intimate life that unfolded in Philadelphia and New York at the beginning of the 20th century. It's also a very good read. Another book, I'll hold on to that. Let's go to John, who has something to share with us. And John, good morning. Thank you for calling.
The books I would like to recommend for people to read, they probably already know about him because he's pretty famous, is Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And also his other book, You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train.
Yeah, did I mention that the other week? Someone recommended to me that book, and I picked it up and I started reading it. I did not know it, so thank you for affirming. That's a great book.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. And let's go to Francis, who has something to share with us. Good morning, Francis.
Hi. Well, the book I'm just beginning to delve into is Frederick Douglass, Prophet and a Prophet of Freedom. My son gave it to me.
Oh my gosh! Is that really?
Hello.
Yes, I just put that. I just laid that on my coffee table. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get ready to read it. It's a big fat book.
You read it. Started now in June, and by August we'll be finished it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also appreciated the Fifth Sacred Thing, and also the Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingdolver.
Yeah.
Anything she writes, I like.
Great. So, great selections.
And also, I would just like to say that suggesting that opposing genocide is somehow anti-Semitic is in itself anti-Semitic, to mm-hmm. suggest that.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that. I just want to say, and I agree with you. I agree with you. But yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Francis.
All right. You guys take care.
Okay. Take care. And let's go to maybe our last call. Lyle, good morning. You just made it.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not I just want to, before you leave, Robin Wall Kimmerer, I don't know if you've read any of her books.
Yes.
But I've read two of them, Braiding Sweet Grass and The Service Berry, about the gift economy. So anyway, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for mentioning her. I haven't read the second book. I'm familiar with the first book. So thank you so much.
Oh, okay, good.
Great.
All right.
Well, thank you, Lyle, and you have a good day. You've been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and let me remind all of you that we are in our Camp KBOO summer membership drive. Consider becoming a member of KBOO today. Just go to kboo.fm/give to become a monthly sustaining member. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for joining us today. Take care, and I'll speak with you next time.
You're listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland.
Got troubles, I got them too. There isn't any.